All right, what is up, guys? Back in with Late Night Shots, episode 43. Today we got here two-time New Jersey State champ and Cornell wrestler Luis Fernandez.
What's up, guys?
What's up, man? You've had a lot of huge accomplishments throughout your high school career, and you're kind of just getting started on the collegiate scene. So how are things going right now?
Things are going pretty good. We're training through like a club right now and trying to do with all the COVID stuff, but everything's going well right now, and school's going well for me, and so is wrestling.
Yeah. A quick question. I don't think this has anything really related to do with this, but did you have the opportunity to wrestle in the RTC Cup, or do they just never ask you?
No, because it's like a senior level event, and I'm not really a strong freestyler right now. I'm trying to work up to that, but we had Dom Bradley, so he's a solid guy, and he's huge, and he's been on the senior level for about 10-plus years, and $220,000 bag on the line that you're going to throw in me right now, you know?
I mean, after Kyle Dake and Gabe Dean had dropped out, it was pretty much anybody's game at that point. But, yeah, running back to your high school days, you start off at 170, pretty much like middle, upper weight class, and you just kind of got bigger from there. So how are things really different? You know, you've wrestled both weight classes at a high level. How do things really change from there?
I'd say competition-wise, I'd say it's changed in strength. Skies are a lot stronger. And I wouldn't say – it's so hard to, like, gauge because I'm so young and I wasn't really developed when I was 170 pounds. I was 14 years old when I was a freshman in high school. So it's just – so much different. It's really hard to gauge, but I'd say the biggest thing would be the strength of the guys now, and especially at the Division I level of college. They're so athletic still, so like it's not like they got much slower. Like they're still real men, and they're moving fast, and they're strong.
Yeah. All right. Well, I actually got some good stories about this. I remember I was going to wrestle my first ever varsity match. We were in a quad. I'm from South Brunswick, so we were in a quad against you guys. So our 220 basically just came back from injury, and then he got stuck wrestling you. You hit him with, like, the nastiest. You kind of just, like, dove at the ground, and he fell, and you, like – it looked like the nastiest duck I've ever seen. And then you kind of just whooped him. And then he's out there talking shit to me the entire day about how you were good, and I lost – what was his name? Sam Huff. It was bad.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, my first ever varsity match. It was rough, just that whole first month. But then – no, I remember, I think the following week, you pinned Michael Tile from Anvil. And that was when
Yeah.
Because we would have this competition because, like, obviously we weren't that good. We were maybe, like, region level at best, both of us. It was like, oh, who wrestled more state qualifiers? Your name just get brought up over and over again.
Yeah. And so that was you're my class, right? So that was
I'm a year younger. Yeah, I'm a year
younger. So that was your sophomore year, my junior year then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I remember what kind of – so you were wrestling 220 and heavyweight. I think both of you guys were 220s. But then before districts, I think it was, you made the choice to move up and you took the number one ranking because you pinned Tile there. What kind of caused you to pick the weight class? Was it?
So that was a whole bunch of things that we were kind of analyzing. I knew eventually I was going to go up to heavyweight, and I just wrestled the week before the number two ranked guy at 220, and I had a pretty good match with him. I think I won a 9-0.
Was that
and that was Leardon Lika.
Okay.
Leardon Lika. DeVecchio got injured like 2 weeks before, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure.
So it was before that it was Achardi, DeVecchio, then Lika.
Yeah, but okay. So he kind of moved up, and he placed second that year in the state tournament. And after that, it was just kind of more of why not just go for the big bucks and, like, I'm a little – might as well just shoot big and see if I can take out the heavyweight weight class. And we just executed that and moved forward with it.
Yeah, so going up to heavyweight, you pinned your way through the district. And in the region final, pretty much, I forgot the name who you beat it through was, but you make it to the state tournament. You're undefeated. You pull a sixth seed, being you have no real criteria at that weight class. And I think you and Cody Wood from Pennsville are the only two undefeated guys in the bracket that year. You're in the bottom half, and Drew Flynn is the one seed. What are you really looking at in this bracket in terms of, like, who you're – just taking, like, one match at a time? Or
that, so that's, like, honestly the key to what I've done, I think, when as an underdog. I don't even know what seed I was. And I wasn't really too concerned with it. I know it's a really low seed, but you can't really put emphasis behind the person's name, because that, especially as an underdog, that is going to taint your mental state. So I didn't really focus on exactly who I was wrestling. A lot of times I didn't even know who I was wrestling. My coaches would just do it for me, and they would just let me know, like, hey, you're on this mat soon. And I would just be like, all right, that works for me. So I wasn't really too worried about it. I know Flynn was a big guy. He's actually at Cornell now. He's a great kid. I'm good friends with him. And I know he was the one seed that year. But, yeah, I think you just can't really focus on stuff like that. You just got to keep moving forward with what you got in front of you.
Yeah. My team actually did mock brackets for the state tournament that year. And, you know, I had you and Cody Wood meet in the finals. I don't know how I predicted that. You know, I saw you wrestle my teammate, and then I wrestled Cody at the holiday tournament. So I did. I did have Cody winning 3-1 just because he beat my ass pretty bad. It was like one of the worst matches you can imagine. Dude shot a high crotch. I sprawled. I'm like, this kid is 220. He's not taking me down. Proceeds to lift me, and it just ended bad. But you know, I somehow predicted you two get into the finals, and it happened. You know, you probably had a more dominant route than he did, but I think neither of your paths are really in your favor at that point. So we start off with, like, the round of 16. You have the big dude, probably one of the most dominant dudes in the bracket, Joe Andes from Hackettstown. So do you remember, like, anything from that match? Or, like, because I think that looked like be your most competitive.
That tournament – so I think that was a style clash for me, if I can remember properly, because he's really short and bulky and very strong. And I was really long on him as a leg rider. If you're riding someone really short with a short torso, it's hard to ride. And I think he got out for me because I got too high. And I could just vaguely remember the match, but I think that's how it went. And I think that he gave me the most trouble because of, like, his physical qualities that he had.
I think that was maybe the one time you got taken down at that tournament.
Oh, that's what that was?
I think I think I've watched his matches a lot, but you went for a power half with double legs in, and he kind of just rolled through it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that I got reversed then?
I think so. I think you was like 5-2. I just watched it was like an hour or two back. But, you know, you pretty much – other than that, it looked like you pretty much cruised your way to the finals. Like, dominant wins, nothing too close. But, you know, you see a bunch of guys that could have made it out the top half. You know, I kind of predicted Cody, but most people were looking at either Drew Flynn or Jervy Sistrung from Brown Brook. You end up meeting Cody win the finals. You know, two underdogs there, the only two undefeated guys left at that weight class. You know, what are you feeling like going into the finals?
So I actually never really – knew who Cody was going into the finals. And I think the night before, in my head, I wasn't really exactly too sure on how I was going to do. And I was really nervous the night before. And I was just like having doubtful thoughts and good thoughts. And I was just like, why am I like on the fence about like how I feel about this? Why am I'm a junior. I have a whole nother year. I'm just going to go guns blazing, just try and score as many points as I can, not be defensive at all. And I think that thought process that I had to just go out guns blazing was the best thing I've made in my wrestling career.
Yeah. Probably one of the most dominant performances I've seen in the state final. You know, you, John Posnanski last year, and your senior year. Probably some of the crazy matches I've seen, you know. He takes, I think it was a bad shot, and you just immediately throw legs in and get to working on top. Were you more just like, okay, I'll be aggressive no matter what happens, or did you try to, you know, you be more cerebral about it?
I tried to just keep pressing them. I remember my coaches were yelling at me to, like, you're up 12-0 or something like that, calm down. Like, I think I did calm down on the super aggressive shots, but I knew I was going to try and keep scoring and keep doing stuff. Like, I wasn't going to try and go out of the way and throw myself in dangerous positions for something that – or for, I guess, what, 3 points at that point? Mm-hmm.
So, you know what's coming next, the infamous chin whip. Just, like, walk me through that.
So that's something that I learned from my 170-pound days. I was wrestling my brothers, and we'd do really stupid stuff in practice. And it's just kind of muscle memory. I don't even remember. My coaches said it scared them a lot, and I just kind of threw it and went for it, and it worked out, I guess.
Yeah. So, no, you're state champion. Like, what's going through your head after that match?
It felt it was this weird feeling that you feel very – it's not very different, to be honest with you. You feel like I'm the same person as I was before, and you think you're going to feel totally different, but you don't. And it's a really weird feeling. Like, it's really hard to describe.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's interesting. So, you know, you, your two brothers, you're the only one to win a state title. I think was it Scott, I think, placed that year?
I think he was
somewhere there.
Round of 16 twice. I know he didn't place, but he came very close to it. And I think that they made me as good as I am today. I think that being able to see what they did, and I was able to change my what I saw from their mistakes, and they were obviously pushing me every day.
Yeah, so, you know, you won a state title as a junior against pretty much, you know, no, I don't think anybody really projected you to win that year. Looking at every projection, nobody projected Cody to get that far either. I think everybody was just riding with the 1-2 seeds that year, being that there's nothing else to go off of. But your senior season, and some that I've noticed, you know, when heavyweight wrestlers come back as a champion the next year, they're normally extremely dominant. You've seen that with guys like Jimmy Lawson, Eric Chaconis, and you're probably going to see it with Jimmy Mullen next year. So what's kind of your process going into your senior year? Was it to be more dominant, or was it just to win every match?
It's definitely to be not – I wouldn't say more dominant. It was to be – I guess, yeah, you could say dominant. I was just trying to work on all my technique and get better. I was preparing myself at the college level, I would say. I wasn't really focused on, like, what my records was and what kind of points I was putting up. I was more worried about how am I going to prepare myself for the college level. And if I need to pin somebody really fast for that, that's different. Or if I need to work on shots and practice and matches, then that's what I needed to do for that day.
Yeah. So before I forget about this, actually, me and Derek, you know, I'm from Jersey. He's from Pennsylvania. We got the rivalry going. So he picked Hunter Kaka and I picked you. You could tell him what happened in that match.
Which one are you talking?
I wrestled.
Okay. Yeah. Was that Fargo?
I think it was a 220. Never mind.
Yeah. So I wrestled, I think I was 1-1 with him in Fargo. I think he beat me in Greco. I beat him in freestyle, or one of the two. I don't know. That's the only time I ever wrestled him in a match. I know I wrestled him and practiced last year, 2 years ago, but we had a practice together. But yeah, he's a good kid, and he's solid. He's strong. And I've talked to him before, and he sounds like a good person. So I think he's going to do really good down at Virginia Tech.
Yeah. So I go to college in Pennsylvania. I'm wrestling D2. So we have this debate one day. I said New Jersey over Pennsylvania, but I go to college in Pennsylvania. So that didn't turn out well for me. And then we just argued like the entire night till like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Let's get this straight. We went through every single flow ranking at every weight class.
Rankings don't matter.
Picked and pulled where everybody was at. And Team PA had more number ones than New Jersey had. I think it doubled the amount of number ones New Jersey had.
He's trying to say that Nick Bouzakis would beat Robert Howard.
Who would beat Robert Howard?
He said Nick Bouzakis from Seminary. He's not beating Robert Howard.
I don't think he'd beat Rob. Rob's really good. I do think that kid's pretty solid. And I can't obviously speak about him because I've really only seen like a video or two of him, but he seems extremely physically developed, and that'll be interesting to see how it transitions into college to see if is he this far because he's physically developed, or is he this far because he's a beast and he's technically sound and he's also physically sound. So I can't wait to see him on the next level.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just hit back onto you. Going in back into your, you know, your senior season, coming off that state title as a junior, you know, ending up in the state tournament, obviously pretty dominantly going there again. Were the nerves kind of just set, you know, you already won your state title your junior year. So was it a lot better for you your senior year being there again?
Nerve-wise, definitely was a lot more relaxed. I remember I would hang out with my coach, we'd make jokes. I'd be in the middle of a wrestling match, I'd be singing in my head. Like, I was just enjoying it. And my second year, the thing I was a little bit – I made an emphasis on that I was going to enjoy the atmosphere and enjoy everything a little bit more. I wasn't going to be – cocky or confident, too overconfident about it, because that's when you start to come off as a bad person and people don't really like that. I hate people that talk and do all that stuff. I just wanted to enjoy it myself internally and enjoy everything I was doing, every practice, the crowd, the match, my technique. I just wanted to take everything in, enjoy it a little bit more.
So, you know, your senior season, probably one of the most dominant senior seasons I've ever seen. You probably didn't watch the NJ.com, the weighing-in stuff. So they talked about this also. You know, obviously unanimous picks for you to win the title. It just really had to go down to who are you beating. But during your season, I think there's one match I kind of want to talk about. You pinned everybody the entire season, but then you wrestle number two ranked Jervis Sistrung from Bound Brook, and you go out there and you get a first period, early second period tech fall, I think it was. What kind of went into that match?
So I remember I was in the middle of the match and I was, or not the middle of the match, probably like first period, I was up like 8 or 10-0. And, before my coaches were just thinking, like, there's a lot of talk that I was just throwing people and like, I was catching them. I wasn't actually like as good as that. And I remember my, assistant coach, Ricky Kurtz, he like just tells me to tech him because like to stop the talk, stop all the stuff. He goes, just run up the points and just get the tech fall. And so that's just kind of what we did. We decided to do that instead of going for a pin. And then I did wrestle him later in the season too at the region finals.
Mm-hmm. And you pinned him in the first period there. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's really what it is. But, you know, you're back into – what'd you put on, like, I think, like 30 pounds after your junior year?
Yeah, so I think I was about 225 in the state's tournament junior year, and then I came back 240. So put on a little bit of weight, and that was not 30 pounds, but
I mean, you looked massive, like compared to other dudes. I know when you wrestled Gashi in the finals, like you kind of looked bigger than him, and he was a guy that cuts
284.
Yeah. I remember at the state tournament, I saw Gashi, and then he just kind of towered over me. And we weigh the same amount, too.
Yeah, he's been good. I think he's at Colgate now, right?
Yeah, he's playing football at Colgate.
Yeah, been there, done that. Not fun. Uh-uh.
But, you know, there was a couple other guys that were in talks, but it was really a fight for second right now. But you probably, you know, going to your state final match, you just kind of looked like you were chilling there. Off the whistle, was it just more pin him as quick as possible and just, like, put on a show?
Yeah, I think it was just the last match of my high school career. Might as well go out with a bang, make it quick, try not to break a sweat, just kind of stay relaxed.
Low single right off the whistle, two suckbacks, and just stuck him. You know, after that match, your career's as a high school athlete's over. So what are you really thinking after that?
After that, I was thinking – there wasn't really like anything, like I didn't want to like celebrate too much. I just wanted to go like hang out with my family, I think, because they really got me to that point. They say that there's a saying that it takes a village, and you know, like my dad taking off so much time, drive me to practice every day. He'd leave at like 5 a.m. and then come back at 6, and then he'd drive us to practice in almost Pennsylvania for practice, and then we come home at 10, and then my mom would wake up and like make us breakfast and do all that stuff. So like they both just did a lot for me, and I just kind of wanted to spend time with them at that point.
Yeah. So your college decision, I think, probably came a little bit before this, but what kind of went into that? Because, you know, Cornell probably has one of the best practice teams out there with Kyle Dake. Gabe Dean was a coach at this point. You know, the Diakmahalas brothers. And then you have a bunch of other guys coming in. Did Chris Foca, you know, Julian Ramirez and Jacob Cardenas come into Cornell kind of affect your choice? Or?
I'm not exactly sure about the timeline. I know I originally did commit to Virginia Tech, and then I changed that. But they did have a really solid recruiting class, and that's always something that was beneficial there. But I think the big thing for me was the education. I always wanted to have a really good education, and for me, I wanted to do finance and some sort of banking. And I think the Ivy League has the best route to that, and I don't think Virginia Tech could have provided me that. They definitely do produce people with very good jobs, but I don't think that the banking sector is exactly their niche.
Yeah, I think Trent Hilger said pretty kind of the same thing. You know, he was recruited to Cornell, but then he had a different aspiration for what he wanted to go through. And then he kind of wanted to be more focused on being an athlete. So he had to pick Wisconsin, which was kind of a better fit for him. Because, again, you know, Brendan Furman was a guy he was competing with to get recruited. So it kind of just went back and forth right there. And they said, if you don't commit to Cornell for this deadline, we're picking up Furman. And that's kind of what happened there.
Yeah, so a lot of teams do put guys on deadlines. I know, like, I've been in this position before where I was on deadline for scholarship money, and that's something that they have to do because they got – I mean, obviously Cornell doesn't do it, but big schools, they got money that they need to give away, and that's the game. And if you look at it, it basically is business, right? And you're doing business with a bunch of 16-year-old kids, which is – and you're giving them – I mean, some schools give up to what? $70,000 a year in scholarship money, right? Mm-hmm. That you're doing,
yeah.
I don't know what the math is on that, somewhere in the $300,000 range with a 16-year-old kid, yeah, if you give them a full ride.
Yeah, so, $300,000 I mean, business deal with a kid that can't drive yet, you know?
Yeah, so it's definitely something that they have to go through, and it's something that you have to strategically plan out.
So, you know, obviously committing to Cornell, you know, obviously, you know, that's dreams come true for you after claiming the second state title. You know, you've done it all, everything you've wanted to do, you know, two state titles, now committed to a Division I college. What was it like that first day walking into the Cornell practice room?
First day walking in the Cornell practice room. I wouldn't say intimidating because I think my first day was just all the redshirt freshmen were frogs that year. I think now we changed to Spartan because we just picked up the Spartan RTC funding and sponsorship. So I guess now if you call it the Spartans, it was just us. And it was a lot of fun because before, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't really have those kind of training partners. I would go to Blair like once a week or probably more than that my senior year. I was traveling to Blair like every week to practice with like Owen Treffen and all those good guys. But that now, like when I was walking the practice that day, it was a lot different because I was scrapping with Jacob, Chris. Like Chris is 174, and I was heavyweight, and I would just wrestle with him. And then like we got to Tuesdays, and then I would wrestle Gabe Dean and Max Dean and Kyle, and on because we had that RTC pass, so we're allowed to do that because technically, like we're not a part of the college, and those days were tough, like grind matches and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, when you first get there, I had a question, you know, obviously you got a good amount of weight on like Kyle Dake. Have you two ever went live?
Yeah.
And how'd that go? I mean,
I don't want to like call out Kyle, but
Uh-oh.
Oh, this is getting posted.
Here we go.
I was wrestling Kyle actually I just walked into practice and we're sitting there and we're watching a lot of the guys go top and bottom. And I was like, Kyle, how like long do you think I could ride you out for? And that was like 20 seconds. And he's like, just looks at me and then just like looks away. And then like, I turned to like Jacob and I was like, I guess like not long. He doesn't really even respect the question. And then, like, he'll look over at him. He's like, on all fours. He's like, are you coming? And then I started wrestling him. Got to, like, 2 minutes on the clock. I'm turning him, getting back points. The whole Cornell team, like, stops practice. They're, like, screaming, jumping around, making fun of him. And he got pretty intense that day. But then, like, there's other days where, like, I'll be like, I guess I won't be going live with Kyle because I'm a lot bigger than him. But we'll be flowing pretty hard. And, like, he'll just be schooling me. It's so bad. Like, I'll just be like going for a club and then, like, next thing you know, my face is in the mat and like other stuff like that. But I think if we're going fully live, it's a little bit different because I'm size difference. But if like there wasn't that size difference, he would be so light years ahead of me. I think he might put up 150 points on me in like a 6 minute match.
Yeah, you know, I have to post this though. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
you but, yeah. So what's it called? Has he hit you with that chest wrap?
I'm sure he's done it. I didn't even notice that he's so good. But, not that I can vividly recall.
So in the beginning, we asked you a little bit about the, you know, the RTC Cup. So have you had the chance to roll around with Don Bradley?
No, I have not. I'm hopefully, I think we're working on with compliance right now with school-wise and everything. But I think I'm going to be wrestling with him this January at our camp.
Yeah, because obviously we've had him on the show here before. You know, he talked a little bit about the guys he was working with. Heard a lot about, you know, Zach Elam from Mizzou, who obviously, you know, we've talked to him as well. So, you know, obviously I'm sure you're gonna have some good run-ins with Dom. I'm sure it'll be a good time.
Oh, I'm sure he'll teach me some stuff and put it on me. So I can't wait to wrestle him.
Last time into outer space.
Yeah, I had a follow-up question to that. You know, again, he's talking about guys like from the same school, you know, Don Bradley, it's an alumni from Mizzou. But have you ever, you know, I'm pretty sure you know these guys like Jimmy Lawson, Eric Chaconis, and Jimmy Mullen. Have you ever practiced with like any of them?
Jimmy Mullen, I have not got my hands on yet. Jimmy Lawson, I have not either. Was it Eric Chaconis you said?
Yeah.
I did wrestle him, but I wasn't really old enough at the time. I think I was a sophomore. I was 190 pounds.
Yeah, what was he? 220 at that point.
He was heavyweight. He already had I think he already won a second state title at that point. And yeah, he beat me that. I think that time I was like pretty small, but he beat me pretty sound.
Yeah, him and his brother Zach were like insane in high school, and then kind of just. No.
Yeah, they're both really impressive kids, and they both, like, you can't really tell which one's better. I mean, Zach, they both did things that others couldn't do. Eric won two state titles. Zach was the number one kid in the country at heavyweight, so they're both pretty solid guys.
Yeah. So, you know, starting off your redshirt year, you've had a good amount of ups and downs. You know, you say it to yourself, there are levels to this. It's not like you're just going to go out pinning kids in, like, 30 seconds. Just like you did in high school. So you've had some matches, you know, you're again a leg rider, it's going to make it easier for you to stack on points when you get it rolling on top. But what are some of the tougher matches you've had to go through in your redshirt season?
Tougher matches. It'd definitely be probably my losses. I don't exactly remember what my record was. I think it was like 30-4 or something like that. I'm not sure, somewhere around those numbers. And I wrestled Gannon Gremmel. I lost to him. He beat me pretty sound at
Demetrius Thomas, I think.
Yeah, him too. And that he actually, I just tried to throw him and went to my back. But
he's good.
Gannon Gremmel. Yeah, he's good too. Gannon Gremmel beat me up pretty bad in the semis at the Southern Scuffle is what it was. Mm-hmm. And then Kirk Levitt, I wrestled him. I think I lost him 6-4, 6-5.
Yeah, that was an impressive match too. I mean, I couldn't find any recordings of it, but again, Kirk Levitt's a guy who's talked about the potential to be Gable Stevenson next season.
Yeah, that one was pretty good. And I remember like just like looking around like halftime, like just a bunch of people are like piling around the mat watching. But that was a pretty solid match. He's a solid wrestler. I can't wait to wrestle him again. I think I'll wrestle him this February or something like that.
Yeah.
That'll be freestyle.
What event?
I don't know. I think we're working on club duels.
Okay.
And stuff like that. So.
Yeah, because I know he already qualified for the trials after this.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also not a guarantee I wrestle in, but we're pretty sure working on the Penn State club duel.
So before, you know, that's pretty much all you really went through now, obviously, you know. There's obviously big things to come for you in the future. No, can't really get into that debate about the starting spot between you and Brendan Furman right here. Because, again, you guys are teammates. I don't know how to really go about that. But, you know, there is an upcoming event that's going to be with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club and the Wolfpack RTC, which is going to – it should involve Craig Kirkfleet versus Nick Wazdowski. And Gwiz already lost twice. So what are your thoughts on this matchup?
I think I would take Gwiz on it. I think Kirkovet is very athletic. I think he's pretty strong. I don't know if he's technically there yet, but I think if Greg does, and he's at Penn State, so he's inevitably going to. I think when he does get all this technique down and all that flow, because I don't even know if he's been wrestling for that long, but when he does get that down, he's going to be extremely good, and I wouldn't put it past him to be one of the top guys, and obviously I think he already is one of the top guys. I did watch both Gable and Mason Paris wrestle Gwizdowski, and I think I was a little more impressed by Mason Paris with that.
Yeah,
because, you know, obviously Gable kind of just scored two defensive takedowns if you break that down. And then Paris is out here putting up points on him. Like I've never seen anybody in the world do that to Nick Wazdowski, you know, except for maybe Kyle Snow.
That's another thing, too. I think Mason Paris is if he's so new to wrestling because he was a three-sport athlete in high school and he's just been, what, 1 or 2 years now where he's actually started to focus on wrestling. I think he's going to exponentially grow. I think he's still exponentially growing, and he's going to get a lot better soon. And I think I would take him over Gable right now.
Yeah, I probably would too. But
I agree.
Again, you look at this matchup. I think the thing about Gwiz is, you know, as far out of hand as the match looks, all it takes is one leg lace, and it's, you know, he has so much size and strength on Kirkley. It's like, can he really stop it at that point?
Kirkovet's strong, though.
I know.
I agree with what you're saying, but I think Kirkovet's strength is a little underestimated. I think he's one of the strongest guys I've wrestled.
Yeah. Dude put up like a 450 bench or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what his like numbers are, but I remember like when we were wrestling, I could feel the strength.
Yeah, so, you know, your pick is Gwizdowski. Do you have a score for that?
I would say it'd be pretty close. 3-2, 4-5-4.
Okay.
With pretty close numbers, I'd say. I don't think – he definitely won't beat him that handily.
Yes. Okay, so we got that out of the way. So as we're coming into the closing segments of this, we give Derek his time. He's going to go with these rapid-fire questions. And you're just going to answer.
We have about five rapid-fire questions for you here. These are just going to be some fun – random questions. We'll usually start off with this one. You being a guy who obviously doesn't have to cut weight, but we're still going to ask, what's your go-to cheat meal of just, you know, you got a couple calories to spare. What's your go-to cheat meal?
Wow, definitely like a loaded burger, just anything inside
every
of fries.
Heavyweight says the same thing. Every heavyweight says the same thing, a burger.
If you say like a steak and like – if I were to say a steak's not really a cheap meal, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just good stuff. I don't know, maybe like a pizza, but I like the meat. Love the meat.
All it's right, the same thing because he's right. I'm going to just let that be known, though.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Next question. If you could take three of your Cornell teammates to be with you in the zombie apocalypse, which three are you choosing and why?
All right. Colton Yapushin, probably, because that guy, during his frog year, was up here just killing deers and just hunting all the time, gutting them right in the back.
Everybody has that teammate. Everyone has a guy on their teammate. The gun guy, like, that I like to call him. The guy who has all the guns.
Probably my roommate, Jonathan Fagan. He's a pretty smart dude, and he's from Idaho, so he knows a good amount of stuff. And who else would be the last guy to pick?
I'm shocked that you did not pick Kyle Dicker, Gabe.
Or Yanni. I was going to say Yanni, yeah.
Zombie, yeah, but, like, what are they – I don't see that what they're benefiting, like –
Bro, I guarantee you Gabe Dean could knock out a zombie in like one punch.
Yeah, but then
or do whatever.
You don't want him to get near the zombie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, but like if it
does. So like their physical capabilities now are like diminished, right? Because if they get near the zombie, now they're zombies. And now I have a Kyle Dick zombie coming after me.
And that's no, yeah, you don't want that. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So
you got one more of your teammates.
I'm trying to think like smart. Pretty smart kids on our team. Probably, I don't know. That's a tough one. Maybe like Max Dean or Dom LaJoy. They're also pretty smart guys too.
Solid pick. Right.
Well, we're rolling here with less than a minute left of the podcast, so we do appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much, and we wish you the best of luck in your upcoming season this year. And stay safe, stay healthy.
So, thank you, man, for coming on. Beat up Jimmy Mullen a little bit for me, you know. But, good luck this season. You know, be interested to see what you do. And so thank you guys for watching. This has been episode 43 of Late Night Shots, and we will catch you again tomorrow.